such a privilege to be here. I don't know how you're feeling at home, but certainly the presence of the Holy Spirit is heavy upon us here as we are recording this for you at home. And we hope and pray that the Holy Spirit is also with you and ministering to you as we gather in a scattered gathering, in a sense, across the nation. But the Holy Spirit is ministering life and hope and peace and joy. And normally, you know, it would be a great day to bring an upbeat, you know, Mother's Day message. But actually, I think it would be really wrong in the circumstances to do that. And so I do believe I've got a word of hope for you. The title actually is called Mobilization in the Midst of Isolation, which is a great challenge to us, because, you know, many of us are being isolated at home, and, you know, the enemy would really want you to get lazy and apathetic, but actually this is a season of us really having an opportunity to spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and to really have him minister to us and change those areas in our hearts and lives, so that when this is lifted off our nations, we will be empowered like never before. And, you know, God is not surprised by any of this. So, you know, as we're going to be sharing today, there actually are many stories of isolation in the Bible, where God had taken people off into places to really speak to them and to really minister to them. We're going to look at two stories this morning. And if you've got your Bibles, I want you to encourage you today to have a look at Acts chapter 12. And starting at verse 1, it was about the time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church. Intending to persecute them, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Now, when he saw that this met with the approval of amongst the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. He put him in prison, handing him over to the guard, to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Now, that's a lot of guards for one man. He was really making sure that this man was not going to get out of jail. Now, Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover season, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. You know, so often we earnestly pray, but we do not expect answers. And this is one of those stories. You know, we need to learn to pray earnestly and effectively. You know, we can pray and pray and pray, but as we pray, if we're not listening to God, then very often we can be praying soulish prayers, or we could be just praying out of our own need and we're not hearing God. And we're going to share a little bit about that this morning. So the night before Herod was about to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping. You know, right now, lots of people are not sleeping. People are anxious, people are worried, people are fearful. And, you know, as people of God, we should be full of hope. We should be full of peace, because we know the end of the story. We know our eternal destiny. And, you know, we should be so full of courage and not fearful, so that when we go to bed, we are able to rest, we're able to sleep, and we can share that assurance with others around us who are struggling with sleeping. But the Bible tells us Peter was sleeping. Now, that's a really strange place to sleep, isn't it, when you're actually shackled to two other soldiers. But he still was so full of the peace of God, you know, that he was able to rest and he was able to sleep really well. He was bound with two chains and the sentry stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. Now, as you read this, you know, the light shining on the cell didn't even wake Peter up. You know, sometimes when I don't close my bedroom door and the window from the hall, when it starts becoming light, you know, the light shines into my room and I'm like, ping, and I wake up. You know, I don't know whether you're like that, but I wake up as soon as it begins to go light. So I have to make sure I close the bedroom door now and I keep it dark for a little bit longer. But, you know, this, the light shining in on Peter didn't even disturb him at all. I mean, I can't imagine an angel coming into my room and shining a light on me and me still being asleep. I wonder how many times actually we have angelic encounters and we miss them altogether. When God sends angels to minister to us, you know, when we're in difficult circumstances and situations. And I pray that for you today, whatever you're going through, whatever your need is right now, that God would release his angelic army of ministers to personally minister grace and peace and hope and life to you today. Amen. So suddenly the angel appeared and the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter. He had to actually shake him to wake him up. Now, that's a deep sleep, isn't it? You know, that's a very deep sleep. Peter was really full of peace in the midst of his awful circumstances. Now, what you need to remember is that he'd already lost somebody he really loved. He'd already seen Jesus, you know, being taken and hung upon the cross. And so he was in real peril. He was in real danger. He wasn't just in isolation. He was actually threatened that he would not come out of it alive. And yet here he was, he slept with perfect peace. So the angel woke him up and said, quick, get up. And as he said that, the chains fell off Peter's wrists. And I really believe in this season of isolation, you know, God is not isolating you. He is there with you, and he's the chain-breaking God. And I really believe that in the midst of your time aside from the normal busyness of life, Holy Spirit is coming, and he's going to begin to touch areas of our lives that we've not wanted to be touched. And he's going to bring deliverance, he's going to bring healing, he's going to bring peace. Because this is a time in the midst of such struggles of God's mercy as well, and his love. And he wants to envelop you, no matter how you feel right now, no matter how afraid you are. You know, the Holy Spirit is there, and he wants to literally envelop you. I felt him tangibly, even as we worshipped. You know, I don't know whether you felt that at home. I hope you did. But, you know, you only have to ask and he will come. You only have to ask and ask him to come and fill you with his hope and his love and his peace, because they're all fruits of his Spirit, aren't they? So the angel said, put your clothes on and your sandals, and Peter did so. You know, God is giving us opportunities in this season, and in this season, we need to be obedient. It is critical, literally critical, that we are listening to God so that we are in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing, that the presence of God, you know, can empower us, you know, because we're coming into a season of signs and wonders and miracles. And God, strangely enough, wants to do it through me and wants to do it through you. And it doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you think you are. You know, God loves you, and he is setting us aside as the church in this season to refresh us and to empower us and to revive us. And I'll share a little bit more about that in a few moments. So Peter was obedient. He wrapped his cloak around him. The angel said Peter followed him out of prison. But he had no idea what the angel was doing or what was happening was even real. Now, I don't know how you feel right now, but I wake up and I think, this doesn't feel real. I was in Liverpool yesterday. I had to go and change some train tickets and take some trousers back to one of the shops. And it was so quiet. There was nobody singing. There was no one laughing. There was no one smiling. People were so terrified. You could tangibly feel the fear over our city. And I just kept shaking my head, almost thinking, this just does not feel real. I'm going to wake up in a minute. But, you know, this is real. And we have got to be the hope and the light and the peace and the joy right now, that we can bring that to people around us. And we can do that over the internet like we're doing right now. You know, there's different ways of us learning to communicate, picking up the phone, you know, talking to people, Skyping people, keeping in touch. WhatsApp groups are fantastic. Our group at CWM, they're praying for you all right now on WhatsApp. They're all on board, praying away, which is great. So we know as he came to the gate leading to the city opened before him by itself. You know, God is going to bring you out of isolation and open opportunities that in the natural realm you would not be able to go through. And you need to know that this is your time of being equipped and empowered and prepared for such a time as this and the days that are coming. So it opened by itself and he went through. And when they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left. Verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything that the Jewish people were hoping would happen. He knew beyond every shadow of a doubt that God's anointing, God's power, God's destiny for his life was still in place. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that God could shift him from one season to another season. He knew that God could open miraculous doors of provision and opportunity. Remember, this was Peter. I love Peter because he was so useless. I mean, Peter just made so many mistakes, even to when Jesus was being arrested. You know, he was there with his sword, cutting off somebody's ear. I mean, how bad would that be? He just got things wrong. And yet he was chosen by God. And no matter what we have done wrong, no matter what you have done wrong, what has happened to you, what mistakes have happened, you know, God wants you to know today, this is a reset time. This is a new beginning, and it feels strange, but we have to make the most of it. Make the most of the decluttering of your life to spend more time in God's word, more time with the Lord. Are we doing okay at home? Yeah? Cool. Give someone a high five in your home. You can do that. We can do these imaginary slaps and hugs and blowing kisses. And we have to do all these new ways of communicating how much we love one another. It's an interesting time. I'm a very touchy-feely person, and I'm really struggling because I'm always hugging everybody all the time. And so I have to kind of hold myself back, so it's a real challenge. And I hope, actually, that when all this lifts, you know, this is not a new way that we behave. You know, we're not going to stay in isolation. You know, we're going to be so full of God's love that it'll be bursting to hug people and love them. So, yeah. So I think it's really interesting, the season that we find ourselves in. So we know, verse 12, when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. And Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. And when she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening the door and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. And the problem is, church, that very often, you know, we're praying, but we're not watching for the answer. We're not ready. We're not ready, you know, to see the breakthrough come. And, you know, as difficult as these days are, this is a season of preparation, of breakthrough. And I really believe God is doing incredible things. So that story is amazing. You know, King Herod was Herod Agrippa, the grandson of Herod the Great. He was to be feared. You know, murder ran in his family. He was known for persecuting Christians. It was a difficult time. And yet, Peter, in a sense, looked death in the face. And he did not allow fear to consume him. And, you know, we must not let fear consume us in this season, because fear is a demonic principality. And when we understand why we start feeling scared and fearful, we need to kind of take a step back and say, I'm not having that. Lord, come and fill me with your love. You know, every time we feel a bit scared, Lord, come and fill me with your love right now. Fill me with your grace. Fill me with your mercy. Fill me with your power, so that we are not overwhelmed by what is overwhelming the world right now. We are not in chaos. We are not in fear. You know, that we are flowing with the Spirit of God wherever this leads us, you know, because we're not going to go back and be church as normal. And I'll tell you why in a few moments. You know, one of the things that is gripping our nation, I've been sharing this quite a bit, and some of you may have heard me share some of this, but being a prophet, you see things ahead of the rest of the world, and you're meant to share so that you can warn people, so that we can be ready. And, you know, we've seen stock markets literally spiraling out of control, the worst that it's been, you know, for many, 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 many years. We've got unprecedented fires going on all around the world. Even today, you know, well, the Australian fires have gone out now, but right now there will be fires going on in different places across the world. Unprecedented season of outrageous fires. 2019, there were reports of rivers in Russia and Africa and Indonesia turning blood red. You know, these are all things that are prophesied in the Bible. You know, we've just come out of a season in the UK of horrific floods. You know, in Liverpool, we're blessed because we do not have the extremes of weather. Thank you, God, for that. But, you know, many parts of our nation have been absolutely deep underwater, you know, and it's been a horrendous trauma for those whose homes or businesses have been flooded in this season. In this season, even right now, you can go on a website and it will tell you that there are an average of 20 normally volcanic eruptions going on in the world. But right now, there's 43. You know, so the world is really, you know, in a time of upheaval like never before. So you can have a look at that online. Also, right now, you know, there are earthquakes going on, and there's another website called the Smithsonian website. You can look at it and track what's going on. And, you know, on average, we're way above average on the number of quite serious earthquakes that are going on. Many of you will have seen, even today on the news, again, the plagues of locusts that are, you know, from the Egyptian era, really. We it's like the plagues, isn't it, from when Moses, you know, was in action. And these plagues of locusts are just, you know, sweeping across many, many nations, totally destroying the crops. And, you know, they are spreading to places that they've never spread to before. We are seeing unprecedented levels of famine. And, you know, going with the plagues of locusts, this is like the worst case scenario. We hear of wars and rumors of wars. There is activity with the political and the religious spirits, although actually right now they seem to be getting their act together. You know, certainly our politicians, I really believe, are doing a great job, and we need to get behind them in prayer, don't we? You know, I think Boris Johnson and his cabinet are doing just an amazing job right now. And then we come to coronavirus. I mean, when it began, I'm sure most of us never dreamt that we would be in the situation that we find ourselves into today. Most of us felt it would not come near us. But sadly, it is in our city, it's in our region, it's in our nation. And, you know, the challenge is for each one of us, do we know God? Do we know God in the midst of all that's going on? I had a series of dreams, and I won't share them all today for the sake of time, but I'm happy to email those out to anybody who would like to have those. Maybe I'll send them to Pastor Fola. But I had a series of three dreams in 2008, so it's been a number of years ago now. The first dream was the walls of division and disunity coming down in the church. And we are really seeing that happening even before all the coronavirus. You know, there's something happening amongst the leaders, which I certainly have never seen, you know, before. And I'm encouraged by that. The second dream was of coming into a place of revival and transformation and miracles. And God said to me, you know, this is great, but I don't want you to stop here. Because so often we find a place in the spirit, you know, where we have that jacuzzi nice feeling, that nice warm feeling in the presence of God, and we just want to stop there. And God said to me, you know, there's much more than this. He said, people have reached this place where we encounter the presence of God, where we encounter revival, where we encounter miracles and signs and wonders, all those things. And we stop there, and then we start trying to steward it and manage it. And then we actually start fighting amongst each other, you know. And then we end up losing all of that. And that's what's happened every time there's been a revival in the history of the world. That's how they get to a place of revival, and then they end up back where they began. And God said, there's more. And I just said to the Lord, well, I don't know what that means. And he said, are you willing to go? And I said, yeah, because I'm crazy. And whenever God speaks to me, I just want to be obedient, you know, even though I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing. And in the dream, as I said, yes, there was a mountain, and God just moved the mist that was just shrouding the mountain. And God said to me, you know, I want you to begin to climb this mountain. And he didn't tell me what it was or what it meant or anything. And so our team, CWM, we just began to pray. Because we thought, if we're going to go up this second mountain, then we've got to go through revival, and we've got to go through transformation, and we've got to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the amazing things happen on the way. In September, the Lord spoke to me. I was just pottering around the house. I wasn't being spiritual or anything. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, do you want to know what that mountain represents? And I said to the Lord, I've been waiting since 2008, you know, patiently waiting for you to tell me. And the Lord said, I am no longer looking for unity. He said, I'm looking for my bride. And I really believe that's incredibly serious. It's like I took a step back because it was such an awesome challenge. Because we can be in unity, can't we, when we're all in agreement and we're all liking each other. But actually, you know, we end up being in disunity because we disagree over something. And we can't find a way, you know, to agree to disagree without, you know, losing our unity. And God said, I'm looking for my bride. And so I really believe we're in a serious time for the church. And I don't believe everyone who's part of the church is going to be part of the bride. And that's the shaking and the shifting and the sifting that's going on right now in our nation. You know, how are the church responding to what God is saying at this time? Last week, I was at our church and I had a real encounter with the Lord again that literally put me on the floor for a little while. And God showed me him taking a lump of clay and he slammed it violently onto the potter's wheel. And when potters slam down the clay, apparently it's to get all the air bubbles and the impurities out of the clay. And, you know, the Lord said to me, I am violently taking hold of my church in this season and I'm remodeling the church to be the bride. And so it's really important that as we find ourselves, taken aside by the Lord, you know, in this time of isolation, that we get our lives right with God. I had a second vision last Sunday, and the vision was of each one of us with issues in our lives and corporately at times as the church. And what we do when we hit difficult times where there is sin that we're not willing to deal with is we lift the carpet and we sweep it all under the carpet. And then we just carry on like nothing has happened. But what I saw was the devil standing on top of that carpet. And I just knew that God was showing me that when we are not willing to deal with our stuff, that when we are not willing as God's people corporately in the church to actually deal with those difficult issues that are uncomfortable, we are giving Satan right over our lives, over our finances, over our homes, over our churches. And what I saw was in this time of isolation, the Lord is saying to us, come to me. I love you. I love you, and my mercy is ready to pour out upon the issues that you've found so difficult to face. And I really believe God is purifying his church in this season in a dynamic way if we choose to say, I'm willing. And, you know, what I saw was as people began to say, God, I'm willing, I saw them lifting the carpet and beginning to clear out all the rubbish, you know, that has just been hidden underneath, even the pain and the trauma where we put our plastic fantastic on and go, we're okay. When actually on the inside, we're in a desperate mess. And God wants access, you know, for us to be real in this time, to really heal us up and get us ready for the greatest move of God that this nation will have ever seen. What I saw as people began to lift the carpet and deal with the stuff was Satan standing on a flat carpet and the Lord coming and literally pulling the rug from under Satan's feet. And that's one of those, yay, God, you know, he is always victorious and he wants to lead us in to those places of victory. Hallelujah. Another story was when Peter was jailed. And it says, he wasn't distressed, he wasn't fearful, but the church earnestly prayed. You know, this is a season where we, God's people, you know, whether we can't gather corporately, but we need to pray like we've never prayed before. And God has given me a prayer strategy regarding the coronavirus. And again, I will pass that on to you, Pastor Fola, and you can perhaps send that out to people. And it will just equip us and empower us. And you may add other things to it if you want to, but we just really need to mobilize the church effectively in this season to stand in the gap and to pray. Hallelujah. Your prayers are powerful. You know, I really want you to know that your prayers to pray over your family, over your business, over your circumstances are very, very powerful. Whether you are on your own at home, whether you're with your family, whether you're doing it over the telephone, however you pray in this season, I want you to know, no matter how bad things are outside, God still hears your prayers. He's ready and waiting to action, you know, the things that you are praying about. Be specific. Be specific about the things you're praying about in this season. You know, don't just say, oh, we're going to pray. We're praying for the NHS, and God's standing there going, well, what are you praying? What do you want me to do? Be specific in how you're praying. Another story in the Bible of social isolation was Paul and Silas, which was found in Acts chapter 16. And they found themselves tied up in stocks. They'd been beaten. They'd been stripped. I mean, it was a really horrendous time. But what did they do? You know, they didn't feel sorry for themselves. They weren't crying in a corner. They began to worship God. You know, this is a season where your songs of worship are powerful as you begin to lift a canopy of praise over your home, over our city, over our region. You know, we couldn't hear anyone singing in Liverpool yesterday. There's so many buskers everywhere singing, and there was nothing. And we need to be the people of God that just release that sound that keeps drawing heaven to earth, that we will see mercy, that we will see favor from God over our families, over our city, and over our nation and the nations at this time. You know, the thing that the God asked Paul and Silas, you know, when they were set free, was, what must I do to be saved? And I want to tell you, I said before I had three dreams, and I've explained two of them. The third dream was of the church outside the church walls. And they were just, you know, just about their business outside the walls of the church as we know it. And something was happening, and people began to run. And I mean, panic-stricken, running, grabbing hold of spirit-filled Christians who were shining with the presence of God, and grabbing hold of them earnestly and saying, what must I do to be saved? Now, I've known that since 2008. I've known something was coming that was going to be so terrifying for people that they are going to be desperately turning to Jesus. Last week, I was singing prophetically, and I began to sing, you know, people are coming into the valley of decision. I could see them coming into that place spiritually where God is preparing their heart for salvation. You know, and the Bible says every knee will bow, every knee, and every tongue confess. And we need to be ready as God's people, you know, to say to people, you know, are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Lord? Because we don't know when any of us are going to heaven or not at this time. And so we need to have a boldness and a courage to challenge people, to challenge our friends and our families, and to share the love of the gospel with them. Because I tell you what, there's no other hope. And the government are doing an amazing, amazing job. But our destiny, you know, for eternity is determined on the decisions we make here on earth. And so I really encourage you, you know, to powerfully share the gospel. As you pray in this season, pray with courage and pray with faith. Don't go to God like you're begging him to do something, because he's already given you authority to pray, and to pray knowing that he can overturn situations. Expect and watch for the answers for prayer. Pray knowing that God longs to touch and heal and reconcile and change lives. I believe in this season we're going to see many, many relationships reconciled as people are just stripped of the rubbish and the garbage, and they begin to understand what's really important. As life is different right now, and you may find yourself feeling isolated, You know, I could feel like that. My Steve right now is on the oil rig. I don't know when I'm going to see him again. You know, he went on Friday. The men are really anxious. Please pray for them. They just want to be home with their families. And he's had to go. And we don't know when he's going to be back. He's normally home in 2 weeks, but it could be 4 weeks. We just don't know. And he's been told to be ready because many of the men, you know, live overseas and they can't come. They can't come in to go to work. But we still need oil and gas and all of those services. So pray for them, pray for their protection, you know. But I'm choosing myself, you know, to actually make the most of the time. You know, because as we said before, this soon will pass. This is not a permanent situation, but it's a window of opportunity where we need to get our lives right with God and know that in the midst of us being on our own, God is with us. God is Emmanuel. You know, he is with us, loving on us. Sing praises to God and allow yourself literally to be wrapped, enveloped in God's love that casts out all fear, that breaks the chains. And from that place of prayer, you can pray for those around you. Spend time in God's word. Dig in his word. Ask him to speak to you through his word. Declare his word over your life. Declare it over your family. Declare God's word over our city. I've been out a couple of times prior to this, St. George's Hall and different places, just declaring the word of the Lord. Isaiah 61, proclaiming it over our city, declaring our city will not stutter and drop down again, but our city will be blessed and favored and will prosper. You know, we've got to begin to really release the word of the Lord over our city. The great thing about those two stories of Peter and Paul was their times of brokenness and isolation actually could have been absolutely, you know, dreadful, but they chose to focus on God. And they came out of the time of isolation empowered and strengthened and filled with the revival fire of God that allowed them to move with signs and wonders and miracles. And my goodness, do we need that as the church? You know, people do not want empty religion. You know, they want the manifestation of the presence of God. And God is looking for his people right now. That's you sitting at home. You know, that's you watching on Facebook somewhere. Wherever you're watching this right now, God is wanting to come upon you and fill you afresh with his fire, with his passion, with his peace, with his hope, with his joy. And so we're just going to come to an end, and I want you to stand where you are at home if you're able to do that. And I want you to put your hand on your heart right now. And, you know, we're going to invite Holy Spirit. And I believe Holy Spirit's going to come right now into your home, into your circumstances. So we say, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're not confined into one meeting place. We ask you to come right now into every home, into every family. We invite you to come into our lives in particular right now. Holy Spirit, as we just put our hand on our heart, we give you permission to put us on the potter's wheel. We give you permission to deal with the stuff. We give you permission to give us courage and boldness to deal with the issues we've been afraid to deal with. We thank you, God, that out of this time of isolation, we, your people, are going to come out refired, refueled, revived, full of the presence of God, full of a miracle power that we never had before. That your people in this season will glorify you and will go out into the world again totally changed. We will look like the bride. We will sound like the bride. We will be so full that when the Spirit and the bride say come, people are going to come and encounter God. Lord, we pray for your church right now that we would have the courage to release salvation. And if you're watching this today right now and you have never given your life to Jesus, I implore you, right now to give your life to Jesus. He died on the cross for you. He gave everything he had for you so that you can step into eternal life with him. We have to be honest. We don't know when any one of us will be going at this time. We don't know. The Bible says 1,000 may fall at your side. We don't know. And so I want to say to you right now, do not sit on the fence. Do not sit on the fence. You need to know where you're going. You need to know you have a destiny in heaven with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm praying right now for you. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your gift of salvation. And Lord God, we pray for any man, any woman, any young person, any child watching this online right now. And I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would come upon them and convict them. Father, we pray and we repent of our sin. That means we say we are sorry for the things that we have done wrong. And we ask you, Jesus, to accept our sacrifice of our life to you right now. Father, we pray right now that people will be getting born again even as they watch this live stream and watch this recording. If you give your life to Jesus, you know what? He will turn your mess into a message. He will turn your life around. He will give you a hope and a future. And we just want to release you right now into the hands of the living God. Finally, my final word is from Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.